Good afternoon. My name is Joan Keston. I'm the founding attorney at Keston Law, a law firm located in Wilmington, North Carolina. We focus our practice on elder law, estate planning, and asset protection. And in doing that, we do documents such as trusts and wills, powers of attorney, healthcare documents. We do planning for Medicaid benefits for nursing home. We do planning for VA benefits for pension, improved pension, aid in attendance, and housebound. We might do planning for Alzheimer's or dementia client, and we do special needs planning. We're starting this podcast, actually, on a weekly or monthly basis to go over some of the issues that we face, or most of us face, or our clients, we see our clients facing in this area of law. We will be talking it from a legal perspective and also some of the practical issues involved. So we hope that this is something of value to you. It will be posted as well, a link on our website. And if you have any particular questions or topics that you feel like that you would like to have us discuss in this podcast, please feel free to send us an email. It's jkeston@kestonlaw.com. Again, jkeston@kestonlaw.com. Thank you. We're going to talk a little bit this morning about the basics of IRAs. IRAs are individual retirement accounts. And according to the Investment Company Institute, in the middle of 2018, U.S. retirement assets totaled $28.3 trillion, enormous amount. And that retirement assets account for 32% of all household financial assets. So, that being said, retirement accounts have taken on an enormous importance when we do any kind of estate planning or asset protection for clients. Your basic IRAs are when you make donations into or contributions to your IRA, they're deducted from your taxes, and then the IRA account grows without any further tax payments on the income that you generate until the day you take distributions again. The day you take distributions again is usually calculated on your 70th and a half birthday, and they're called required minimum distributions. You can take distributions prior to 70 and a half without getting a penalty, provided you're at least 59 years old. But at 70 and a half, you are required to take a minimum amount of distribution. And those are calculated on different tables that you get from the IRS or from the Social Security office. When you do have IRAs, it's very critical that you list designated beneficiaries, meaning people who will inherit that IRA when the original owner of the IRA passes away. The beneficiaries are not just anyone. It has to be an individual. It can't be an entity or a charity. So for a beneficiary to become designated, it has to meet the criteria required. If you list your spouse as a beneficiary, then the spouse can take your IRA and roll it over and make it their own, and thus create a whole separate IRA with their own beneficiaries designated. Or they can treat it as an inherited IRA, meaning they inherit it, but it stays on based as your original IRA. When you have children listed as designated beneficiary, then it is an inherited IRA when they inherit it, and they begin to take distributions because of your age of 70 and a half, but they can stretch it out over their lifetime.
Okay, excuse me, but can you explain that your children have to take distributions at the person at, let's say it's my IRA,
right,
and I'm 70 and a half, and my beneficiary is my children, mm-hmm, and they have to start taking
They would have to because you were 70 and a half, or the required age, and then they can stretch it out and take distributions for the remaining part of their life. So they would take smaller amounts over a longer period of time.
Now, could you take those amounts out, like you said, at 59 and a half, if you had to take them out early, what would qualify as something not having a penalty?
There are certain kinds of large crisis-type payments, or possibly buying a house, I think education. There's a listing of what you could take a distribution out prior to 59 and a half and not incur a penalty.
Oh, like going into a nursing home?
I don't have a total list, but you'd have to research that in the code or ask your accountant what those conditions would be. but they're more along one of the, you know, a major catastrophe or something of importance in your life. You can't just take money out to live on. Once you're 59 and a half, you can take them out without penalty. And then again, at 70 and a half, you're required to take out distributions. If you have a regular IRA, you will pay tax on your distributions, the income tax on the portion that was earned. There are also what's called a Roth IRA, and those IRAs are IRAs that you do not take tax deductions when you make your original contributions, but then when you take out distributions, you're not paying tax either. So there's depending on what your economic situation is, it's good to speak with your financial advisor to determine if you want to roll your regular IRA into a Roth. And again, that gets more into a financial advising situation. We sometimes do trust work for people with IRAs. And again, that does take on a complexity that's different from your regular planning trusts. We normally do a standalone trust for an IRA distribution. You can't transfer your IRA into the trust because that would trigger a complete distribution of the IRA. But we list a trust as a designated beneficiary of the IRA. And again, there are certain kinds of trusts that we do depending on situations. And the main reason there, again, is asset protection. Let's say you have a second marriage and you want to leave money to your second wife, but you don't want to disinherit the children from your first marriage. So we may use a trust for that purpose. Because if you were to list your wife as the beneficiary, she could always name beneficiaries and, again, exclude the children from the first marriage. So that might be a situation where we would do a trust. Also, if you have children and your fear is that they would cash this out irresponsibly, pay the tax and go buy a Ferrari, let's say, or something that you would not want them to do, by putting it through a trust, they cannot cash it out. They can only take the distributions that they're required to take. So again, it's a planning strategy depending on the situation that each client faces. But there are a lot of mechanisms that can be, you know, planned and used or implemented depending on a situation. IRAs have a world of complexity to them, and you have to be very careful when you deal with IRAs because of that. Okay. We advise clients frequently on IRAs and what to do. They can become an obstacle if we're doing Medicaid planning. Again, for the same reason, when we do planning for asset protection, let's say to obtain Medicaid benefits, or we're doing strategy to protect assets in order to qualify for Medicaid, the problem with IRAs is that if you're going to move them around, you'd have to cash distribute the money out of the IRA to be able to do that, and thus you're incurring a huge tax bill. So oftentimes our advice is spend your IRA down first and plan to protect other assets. But again, the IRAs can become challenging when we're dealing with a strategy for Medicaid planning. There are different kinds of retirement plans. Your standard IRAs, Roth IRAs, are what we call non-ERISA qualified plans. ERISA is the Employee Retirement Income Security Act, ERISA. Now, your 401ks are what are ERISA plans. It means that your employer has created this kind of retirement benefit and handles the choices of investments you can make. Your ERISA plans are also qualified, meaning they're tax-based or tax-driven. Oftentimes, your 401ks cannot be put through a trust or have different restrictions on them. And once you terminate your employment or reach a certain age, you often can roll that over into a standard IRA. So it's just something to know about a 401k, that even though it is a qualified retirement plan, it has under a different federal statute, so it does have different requirements and regulations to it. Thanks for listening. I welcome you to visit our website, www.kestinlaw.com. On that website, you will find our schedule for seminars. We do seminars almost on a monthly basis in two locations, where we formally address a lot of the topics we mentioned in this podcast. You also can follow the directions with this podcast. If you have any topics you'd like us to address in a podcast, feel free to write those and send those to us. And if you have any other questions and would like to have any kind of consultation, again, you can either contact us on the website, and our phone number is 910-509-7121. Once again, thanks for listening.